the country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told. Spend some time in the country, now it's time we start the show.
Joining me on the show is country artist Gil Grand. He has a brand new song out now called She'll Always Be Mine, and we'll hear that on the show a bit later. Gil is part of a great songwriting event coming up at the end of June at Calabogie Peaks Resort. Check them out at calabogie.com. And that songwriting event for 3 days features Byron Hill, Jeffrey East, and Gil Grand, all amazing songwriters, and all of them helping new songwriters find their way. We'll talk about all that, plus Tin Pan North that Gil Grand will be a part of as well. That's coming up towards the end of May. Welcome to the show, Gil.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat with you today.
It is great to have you here, man. I followed your career since back in the day when Famous First Words came out. That was such a great musical introduction. Was it back in 97?
It was a long time ago. It was.
I know.
It was. You know, do you know why I know that? Just recently, you know, on this past Thursday, I had the opportunity to play at the Bluebird Cafe here in Nashville. It was my second time, so I hadn't done it in several years. But Byron Hill was one of the other writers on there, and we had Mark Allen Springer, who wrote Two Sparrows and a Hurricane. We had, you know, Bryce Long. So it was a good little round. But before the event, you know, before the show that night, I called Byron and I said, "Hey, I think I'm gonna kick off the set with I Already Fell." And I said, in case you wanted to kind of refresh, because he wrote it with me and produced my first CD, of course, on Monument. And so I said, if you want to kind of refresh your memory and everything, I think I'm going to start with that song. And so a little time goes by, and then finally he texts me back, and he says, "Do you realize this song is 19 years old?" And I hadn't, you know. I said, "Oh my goodness, you know, it really is. Like we wrote it 19 years ago. I can't believe it. Time flies, Dave."
Oh yeah, isn't that something with
time?
Sometimes you hear a song and it doesn't seem like it's that long ago, but that's, you know, how our minds
mm-hmm.
work.
But
Man, that song is old enough to drink.
Old enough to make me want to drink because it's old, that old.
There you go. I love that. That's awesome. And you mentioned Byron Hill, who you worked with back in those days. And, man, he was on the show recently, and you put me in touch with him. Man, he's hitting weak. I mean, you can barely cover the list. It's just 700 songs long.
I mean, it is. You're not even exaggerating. That's crazy.
That's the truth.
But what an impressive career, and continues to have an impressive career. And, you know, we've had the pleasure of working together just recently on my new single, which I know we're going to talk about and play here in a little bit. And, Byron's been, I mean, instrumental throughout my career, you know, at the very beginning. And here we are, you know, all these years later, and we're still having fun and playing the Bluebird and doing, you know, recordings together. So I'm a fan, and he's an inspiration, and he's taught me a lot, and continues to teach me, you know, how to be a great songwriter, and he's just a great all-around person, too.
Let's get into that, to the craft of songwriting, and right off the top of the show here. A lot of people who listen, you know, enjoy, Gil, hearing songwriting tips, songwriting advice, just the knowledge of people who've been there and have written hits. Can you give us any shortcuts or any pearls of wisdom on songwriting?
Well, I don't know if there are any shortcuts. And you're a songwriter, Dave. I know you are in some songs as well, and you like to write songs. But, I mean, everyone has their thing, right? Everyone has their style, and I think we can all learn, you know, and continue to learn. I think that's the beauty about writing songs. I don't care how old you are, and you know, you can always get better and always improve and always learn. I know I certainly do, and I try to raise the bar every time I write. And so, I mean, that's a little bit about what we want to do and talk about at the songwriting workshop that we're going to be having, that's going to be in Calabogie, Calabogie. That's a fun word to say.
Calabogie.
It is.
Songwriting workshop. Yeah, that's going to be in June, at the end of June, 27th, 28th, and 29th. And in fact, Byron Hill, it's a great opportunity for writers and artists who are looking to learn about, you know, being an artist and getting a record deal, or if you're a songwriter. I mean, you have to think Byron's an award-winning record producer as well. You know, he's won many CCMA Record Producers of the Year awards, working with Gord Bamford's projects. And anyway, it's just, it's going to be a great opportunity for people to meet Byron, to learn. And I'm going to be there to share everything that I learned along the way. And of course, Jeffrey East, who is just a phenomenal singer and songwriter, and a, boy, he's a lot of fun, very witty, very, very nice. And people really enjoy having Jeffrey as well. It's going to be a great event.
That's great. And Jeffrey is going to be on a future, very near future episode of In the Country. I can't wait to speak with him.
Yeah.
So for people who are attending this, the songwriters at Calabogie Peaks,
yeah,
let's just start off with, what should they bring? Should they bring a guitar? Should they bring a notebook with song ideas? What kind of preparation to get ready for this?
That's exactly right. I mean, we're going to have a bunch of things going on. I mean, it's going to start off, you know, the event is actually, you know, the 27th, 20th, 29th of June. But on the Sunday prior, on the 26th, we're going to, people want to come in and check in. Like, Calabogie is a beautiful resort. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, they have skiing there in the wintertime, and, you know, there's a golf course there. They do all kinds of, you know, outdoor events and things like that. So, but on the Sunday, which will be the 26th, there's going to be registration time. And then later on that evening at 7:30, we're going to have a reception, you know, cocktail reception, that people can join us and get to mingle a little bit. And so that's just one of the things. But once we get going with the workshop itself, people bring your laptop, bring your notepads and your pencils, and bring your instruments. I mean, whether it's, as long as it's something you can, you know, if you're a drummer, you may not want to bring a drum kit with you, but if you're a songwriter, you know, and you want to just bring a guitar or a mandolin or a keyboard, a small keyboard or something like that, because we're going to want to hear what you do, you know. So not only are we going to present ourselves as a panel and teach a little bit about what we know and little tips and pointers about how to maybe fine-tune some of the things, you know, that we can do with writing songs, but also we want to hear what you do already, you know. So there's going to be an opportunity for the writers who are going to participate to jam every night after, you know. It's going to be a three-day thing. So at the evening, we're going to get together, we're going to do little jams, and we're going to hear what they're doing, and then we're going to have a little contest even. You know, I think what would be a lot of fun is we're going to break up the group into three, you know, a little group with me and a group with Jeffrey and a group with Byron, and we're going to work on a song together. And at the end of the little event and the workshop, we're going to see who comes out with the best little song, and there's going to be a prize involved with it. I'm really looking forward to it. It's the first annual. We have a lot of support from it. You know, SOCAN has gotten behind it. Bell Media, NSAI, you know, Toronto, they're helping us, and they're nice enough to post it and promote it. And Eddie Schwartz over at the Songwriters Association of Canada, really, you know, is such a pal and a great support, and they're endorsing this event as well. And so is Ed Torres at Dog FM. I mean, it's just, I'm overwhelmed with the response and the people who want to be involved. I think we can use more and more of these type of events, you know, for, it's just, I think it's just constructive and it's creative and it's networking, and it's what people need to do to further themselves in their careers.
Absolutely. And it's so great to be able to mold, I guess, for lack of a better word, that raw songwriting talent that a songwriter has, and just help them get to, from a good song to a great song. And there, sometimes it's not that big of a change, right, to take that good raw song that someone's written and just fine-tune whether it's the melody or even parts of the lyric, to just to get it up a couple levels.
Absolutely. I agree with that, too. And, you know, one of the things that I've always, I mean, I don't know about you, Dave, but I mean, I've always enjoyed co-writing, you know, and I know a lot of the writers who, they write by themselves, and maybe sometimes it's not by choice. Maybe they don't know any other writers around, or there's not, those resources aren't there for them, or then people, just some of them just really want to write, you know, solo and everything, and that's fine. But I really feel that, especially with the, if we're going to look at country music, for instance, and how that format changes, you know, continuously, myself, who I've always been, you know, it's not a secret to anyone that's listened to my music, but more of a traditional country guy. You know, primarily as a songwriter, I've written for my own career, you know, because that's what I was doing. So I needed songs. I would write with, you know, my career in mind for the longest time, which, you know, meant I would write a more traditional side of songwriting. And then, but I found that as music changed and everything, I really enjoyed co-writing with people with different influences, you know. So even though I don't have that within me, I bring my set of skills, but I can get together with someone like Jeffrey East, for instance, who has very different influences musically than I do. You know, he will bring a pop side to it, or a bluegrass side to it. I mean, his roots run deep in all genres, really, and so he's a well-rounded songwriter. But I think that makes it fun, and I think that's something else that we want to encourage, and we want to see and exercise while we're doing this songwriting workshop, is to kind of meld all of these influences together and see what comes out. You know, that's always the fun part.
And you know a good song when you hear it, because your publishing company, Grand & G Publishing, had big success with a song for Chris Young. I'll let you give us the details, but it's one of my favorite songs of all songs, but of his specifically, Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
man,
know.
What a
we
great
were,
song.
I mean, it was a great time, you know. I really enjoyed that side of within my career, you know. I mean, I did have an opportunity to work in a publishing company and work with songwriters, and one in particular was Anthony Smith, who wrote for us, and Anthony is one of the co-writers on the song you're referring to, which is called Tomorrow, big number one hit for Chris Young, and he had co-written that with Chris Young and with Frank Myers, and it was an exciting thing for me to experience, not as a writer, but as a publisher on the song, to see a song climb the charts and get recognition and go to number one. And it also was the TSAC Song of the Year that year, and I have an award for that. That was a fun time.
Let's turn to a song of yours, Gil, because I want to get your music on the show here so we can have people, of course, hear your great voice. Baby Knows a Lot About Leaving is the song we're going to play first before we get to your brand new one a bit later in the show. Tell me a bit about that song before we share it.
Well, that song was written at a time when my co-writer Josh Osborne wasn't big and famous the way he is now. You know, I'm sure if you've heard that name, and Josh has had tremendous success, you know, recently, or over the last four or five years, I guess, with you know, Shane McAnally, and, you know, writing all of these wonderful big number one hits and Grammys and all of that kind of stuff going on the charts. But anyways, I had an opportunity to know him prior to that for several years, and he would come and write over at our building, and he wrote with my brother Jake quite a bit and myself. And this was one of the songs that Josh and I just happened to write together, and I've always really liked it. I thought it was well-crafted. It's a good song. You know, for me, you know, it became a single for me after not having put any music out for almost 6 years, which was that time frame you were talking about where I ran the publishing company. So, you know, it was a kind of a leap. You know, it was like, I don't know how this is going to go, and if people are going to accept it, or, you know, it's been a while. I hadn't really put anything out on the radio. But you know what? I did it for the right reasons. I wasn't dependent. I didn't nag or bother anybody to play that song. I thought I had something to offer in what was just a great CanCon song. And I thought, you know, this is, I think, you know, I can say that this is a good tune, and that's why I wanted to put it out there. And that's why I did it. I thought, as long as I have something to offer, and I'm just, you know, doing it for the right reasons. And you know what, Dave, for those reasons, the song did well. I mean, I had some wonderful emails from radio program directors and music directors just saying, hey, it's great to hear a new Gil Grand song and how you've been. And I reconnected with a lot of them, and they were supportive and played it. So it was a nice – that song will hold great memories for me for those reasons, because it was really well received.
Let's share the song now from my guest, Gil Grand. This is Baby Knows a Lot About Leaving on In the Country.
My buddies tell me, buddy, you can't hold a woman like her for long. When you have a body like that, you can have any man you want. And I tell them all you're crazy, no way she'd ever walk out. But my baby knows a lot about leaving. Leaving me breathless when she smiles that smile at me. Leaving me needing more love and begging down on my knees. Leaving a trail leading right to her bubble bath. Leaving me wanting her more than I ever have. She's a one-man woman, believe me. But my baby knows a lot about leaving. She left the lipstick kiss for me this morning on my coffee cup. Just a little reminder telling me the best is yet to come. Gave me a wink and said, when I get home, boy, you'd better watch out. Oh, my baby knows a lot about leaving me breathless when she smiles that smile at me. Leaving me needing more love and begging down on my knees. Leaving a trail leading right to her bubble bath. Leaving me wanting her more than I ever have. She's a one-man woman, believe me. My baby knows a lot about leaving. I tell them all you're crazy, no way she'd ever walk out. But my baby knows a lot about leaving me breathless when she smiles that smile at me. Leaving me needing more love and begging down on my knees. Leaving a trail leading right to her bubble bath. Leaving me wanting her more than I ever have. She's a one-man woman, believe me. My baby knows a lot about. Baby knows a lot about leaving.
And that is Ontario's own Gil Grand. Baby Knows a Lot About Leaving. You can check his website out at gilgrand.com and find him at iTunes, including his brand new song, She'll Always Be Mine. He co-wrote that one with Jeff Reed. And that's coming up a bit later in the show. We'll talk more about that. I watched this video again recently because it's a cover song you did. Love the song, the original song. Love your version of it. And the video you did for it is very cool. Break It to Them Gently. Tell me a bit about choosing that song, Gil, because I love your version of it.
Oh, thank you. I love the song. I mean, I did it for – I had at that time never covered a song, you know, within my career. So I did want to do something. I wanted it to be Canadian, and, of course, that song was originally done by Burton Cummings, and a legend, you know, a Canadian legend, singer, songwriter. So I loved the song. For me, when I first heard it, wasn't actually Burton's version of it. It was one of my uncles who was singing it at my house.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? Like my dad, it was a fad. It was a phase thing that went on when I was about 13 or 14 years old, and my dad came home one day with a Yamaha acoustic guitar, And then my Uncle Claude had one, and my Uncle Richard had one, and my Uncle Brian had one. And they all started, it was a thing. They got together at my dad's house, and they would jam, and they would kind of show each other what they had learned that week, and they would just kind of sing. You know, it was all very new to everybody, but right. They did a good job. And everyone just, you know, learned a few chords and learned a few songs, and they had fun doing it. It's really what made me want to do it as well. So my Uncle Brian used to sing this song, and it made me think of that's what brought it to my attention. You know, I was like, oh, that's a really good song. And I looked it up, and when I recorded it, I wanted to, you know, I really wanted to be careful about how I approached it, and I wanted to do it justice, and I didn't want to stray away from it too far, which I really don't think I did. It's pretty similar to, you know, mm-hmm. the original version in a sense, but definitely, I mean, you know, anything that I sing, it doesn't matter if it's a heavy metal song, it's going to sound country. So, yeah, so, you know, it has definitely my spin on it, but yeah, it was, that again did really well for me, and radio was nice enough to support it, and I got to sing it for many years on stage.
And you did a good job in that as far as the acting part. Had you done that before, camera work, or because you know, even just to look natural on camera and not, you know, stilted, to me,
well,
you looked like it was believable. You were a fugitive.
Dave, I don't think you've got a future in critiquing movies and actors, because
okay.
You're the first. That's the first time anyone has ever told me I've done a great job acting in a video. But I appreciate
wow.
that. My goodness, it took a while, but thank goodness for you. No, I mean, it was fun. You know, it was something, again, it was something new, and you got to have fun with those things. And mm-hmm. I never... I mean, thank goodness there were no lines. I didn't have to say any lines other than sing the song, which I knew. So that probably would have really turned it on its head. But as far as acting with a beautiful model, you know, who's a acting as a policewoman chasing me and throwing me in the handcuffs, I mean, that's pretty easy.
Exactly. I guess that's,
yeah.
If you put it that way, I guess we'd all... look good. And
yeah, let her catch me, you know.
Right. You're a smart guy.
Yeah, sure.
You let her catch you. No, I thought it was very well done, but again, the song is great, and the way you deliver it. Let's talk more about your influences. I mean, you mentioned hearing your uncle sing that song, but obviously with your traditional sound, take us back to some of those artists when you were growing up that influenced you.
Well, I mean, it's really what was going on at country radio, you know, in the 80s for me, really, when I started paying attention to all of that. And there was some great stuff, you know, George Strait, Full-Hearted Memory, I believe, was 81 from my, if I recall the interview where you guys saw 82,
right.
Maybe.
82?
But, yes. But I mean, he was one, but before that even, you know, I love Conway Twitty was my favorite singer. I love Conway. What a singer. You know, I just
love
it. Did it for me, man. I loved his voice. And so there's definitely, I feel some Conway in the way I phrase and the way I sing. I mean, there just has to be, because that's what I listen to. And George Jones for me was one of the very, very best singers. I can't listen to a George Jones song without it putting a smile on my face. It always,
right.
I mean, uncontrollably makes me smile, because it's so good. It's so good the way he sings, you know. And so I love that. I mean, those are definitely my influences, and I'm proud to carry them in what I do, you know, because I think those were some great singers. In fact, when I finally did get a record deal and signed to Monument Records, which was the Sony label, and got to tour and everything, one of the greatest things that ever did come out of that, other than getting to know the Dixie Chicks and work with them and everything, but I did get to do a show one time, and it was with Merle Haggard and Buck Owens.
Wow.
I mean, that is something. I know, right? I mean, even you know, long-time established artist. I mean, it was an opportunity thing. I was very lucky to be a part of that, and so it was cool. I got to see Buck Owens at the Crystal Palace, and Bakersfield there, and then but anyways, they were doing a show in Tempe, Arizona. Anyways, great memories from some great legends, you know. So I appreciate that for sure.
Oh, it's incredible, the classic country songs, and that you feel good. You hear them, just like you said, with George's voice, you feel good, you smile. It's great to hear those songs. And when you mentioned Conway Twitty, I mean, the list could go on and on, but one song, especially from a songwriting point of view, is That's My Job. A beautifully written song, and, of course, his voice is
Gary Burr,
it's great at delivering.
Right.
Who's Gary Burr, right? I was one or the only writer.
I'm not sure if you – maybe the only one, I think. I'm not sure, but, that's a great
check
song.
That out, but, just
a great Father's Day song.
yeah. Absolutely. Man, it's amazing now. Have you had a chance over the years, Gil, to do any duets, record, but do them live? Are there artists out there that you want to duet with?
You know what? I've never recorded a duet. I've sang duets with my brother. That's probably not what you were thinking, but, you know, we went out one year in support of Ronald McDonald House charity, and
nice.
We did a tour. Like, it was, at least 30 dates. And we got to sing together. So we learned a bunch of Everly Brothers and, you know, Streets of Bakersfield, any duets that we could do together. And it was fun to do that with him. But other than Jake, you know, although it was never, I never told anybody this really, but although it was never a song that was recorded and released or put on a project or released as a single, I did write a song one time, and I had Lisa Brokaw was kind enough to sing and do a vocal on it with me.
Right.
And it was actually, Jeffrey doesn't know this, but Jeffrey E. sang another part. So I had Jeffrey do a part, Lisa do a part, and of course I sang the lead part on the song, and it was unbelievable. But without Jeffrey knowing, he's going to find this out now, but I took his part out just so I could have a duet with Lisa and myself. And I love the way we sounded together. You know, she's one of my favorites. Female artist. And,
what a voice. Yeah.
What I know. What a singer. And so, we never put that out. It was a song called Nothing Left to Break that I actually wrote with the Stellas, with Brad and Mary Lynn. We wrote that song.
I was reading that you helped discover the Stellas. Is that correct, Gil?
Well, discover is such a, I don't know about that word, but we definitely worked together, you know, and they were people that I got to know early on in their careers when they came to Nashville, and they were, they were just getting kind of started with what was going on there, and we had, our publishing company was brand new, so I went out to see them one night and offered them a publishing deal right away, because they're incredible, you know, and you already know that, anybody who knows the Stellas, not only Brad and Mary Lynn, but the girls as well, they're just super talented family, and, we for several years worked together, and they're like, you know, I love them. They're like family. They're good people.
You mentioned your brother earlier, Jake Matthews. Man, he's done some great songs out there. One of recent years that I really enjoyed of his was The Beer Necessities, which was such a cool title and a great song. Love it.
Yeah, I know. Now, you know, I guess everybody knows now, but for the longest time, people didn't know Jake was my brother. Jake's put out some great songs. You know, he wrote for our company too, at Grand Inky, and he wrote for several years with us and wrote some great songs, and that was one of them. Maybe not that one, even just afterwards, but anyways, continues to you know, great, he's a good singer and a good songwriter, and he's my brother, you know, my mom's listening, I love him.
Now, which one of you, and this isn't to give away age, but did one of you get into music first and influence the other one, or around time?
Yeah, I mean, we'll give away the age. I mean, I'm okay. Definitely, I'm the older, I'm the older brother, so I definitely started first, and but not too long after. Jake was right behind me, you know, and it was hard not to be, you know. I mean, it's such a, what a great thing to be able to do, you know, to sing and make a living, you know, making music and stuff. So, I mean, I wasn't surprised that Jake was hooked as well. You know, him and I started off just doing talent shows. You know, we entered talent competitions and, you know, we made money. We would win, you know, these talent shows and stuff. And, you know, I bought a guitar, you know, from one of the talent shows that I'd won. And so, I mean, that's kind of how we started off our careers, really, just kind of cutting our teeth, in a sense, just singing in national competitions.
How important, Gil, would you say it is for somebody listening who hasn't been to Nashville yet, who is a singer-songwriter, and how important is it then just to get down there to visit, to be there, and to take it all in?
Yeah, if you're talking about, obviously, if Canadians, for instance, if it's important for them to come to Nashville, I mean, it depends what someone is looking to do. But I would only say, I mean, if anything, just for the history, you know, and the people that are here as far as songwriters and industry folks who, you know, are good people. You know, they have good things to offer and great relationships and great friendships to make here. So for that, I definitely encourage, you know, them to come here and be a part of all that. And I feel like we're two families, you know, we together, like we just, Byron, you know, again, I'm bringing up Byron, but I mean, Byron loves Canada. He's been up there. He's had some success there. We, you know, I saw where Tim McGraw, I guess, tweeted something about the fires that are going on in Fort Mac and offering his prayers and thoughts. And it's like, it's a big, you know, people just, we go hand in hand, you know, and we love going up there and people love coming down here. And so, I mean, I definitely encourage it. I think there's a whole community here that Canadian writers and artists can be a part of if they came out.
We're going to turn to your brand new song in just a moment. I'll just, again, let our listeners know about the Songwriters Workshop 2016 that is coming up at Calabogie Peaks Resort. It's happening June 27th, the 28th, the 29th. Website is calabogie.com, and you'll find it in the events section there. Nashville comes to Calabogie for the first annual Calabogie Peaks Songwriters Workshop, featuring my guest, Gil Grand, Byron Hill, who's a huge hit songwriter, and another amazing songwriter, Jeffrey East, who will be featured on In the Country in the very near future. And as it says here, some of the topics to be covered include how to create a well-crafted song, generating unique lyrical ideas and strong subject material, how to collaborate with others or go solo, and other great things you'll learn. Man, that's going to be amazing, I'm sure, not just for the people attending, Gil, but for you as well to sort of see that talent that's out there.
Yeah. Oh, man, I look forward to that all the time. I love meeting new people and hearing new singers. I mean, that's one of the things that I look forward to the most in the industry now, where I'm at career-wise. I love hearing somebody new, you know, and blowing me away and stuff like that. So I hope to, you know, I look forward to meeting all the people who are going to take part and attend. It's going to be a great time, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I really think people should come and check it out. It's something we're going to do, you know, every year, annually. We're going to grow this into a big thing. And, you know, it's something that I can personally say when I started off, I would have loved to have gone to something like that, you know. I meet a lot of people who, you know, have a lot of questions. Like, oh, man, how can I get my songs heard, and how can I – you know, record these songs, or I can get someone to cut my songs for me. You know, questions, so many questions that people don't know or don't have the answers to. And this is a great resourceful, you know, event. I mean, it's an open book. We're there to just, you know, hang out and have fun and answer questions and just talk about what we've done. And, you know, I mean, I'm going there to learn. I'm sure I'm going to learn a lot from Byron still and from Jeffrey. And it's going to be great fun. You know, Calabogie, I haven't been there either, so I'm looking forward to going to that little part of the
neck of the woods in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
up near Ottawa. That's going to be beautiful, and coming up at the end of June. Let's turn to the song now that, speaking of Jeffrey East, as we did a moment ago, you and he wrote this song called She'll Always Be Mine. Tell me about the song, Gil.
Yeah, well, it's that thing. You know, I have a daughter, I have a son and a daughter, but my daughter, Candace, got married 3 years ago now. They just had their third wedding anniversary on May the 3rd, and I'll always remember the date of May the 3rd because I know for a while they were talking about having it on May the 4th, and they were going to have a Star Wars themed wedding. You know, it's going to be May the 4th be with you, and I was like, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, no, that can't happen. But anyway, kids, you know. But my daughter, Candace, obviously her entire life grew up with a dad who had a guitar in his hand, you know, and sang and around the house and everything. And obviously her wedding day is monumental for her. And I guess she knew, that I would probably sing a song for her. And I always felt I would, that's something that I always pictured one day doing is writing a song for my daughter and singing it for her wedding. So when the time came and I knew it was approaching, I got together and I asked Jeffrey if he would help me and think about this stuff and, how he would put it down. Cause it was going to be the most important song I had ever written. So it had to be great. What's really funny, it's kind of funny, but or interesting, I suppose, is that initially when I started writing, putting the pen to paper and writing down the words, I really felt I would write this song about her, about my daughter, and about how beautiful she is and how much she means to me in my life and how proud I am of her and all of those things. And then all of a sudden it took a turn and a total different twist, and the song became about me singing to her husband-to-be. But the young man who's about to marry my daughter. And that's where it started coming together for me. And I thought, this is cool. This is more real, that's kind of how it came about. And it was like just a dad having a conversation about, and I was able to still get all of the sentiment and emotion and the things that I wanted to say about my daughter in the chorus, but it was more of, this is what she means to me, and now she's going to be in your life, I'm really proud of it. Honestly, I feel this is the best song probably that I've ever written,
wow.
I'm the proudest of it, and it, because it means so much, I think that's been reflected by my performances of the song afterwards. The reactions have been over the top, and people encouraged me to record it because they wanted, after I would perform it at a show or something, I would have numerous people lined up wanting a copy. Like, how can I get this? My daughter's getting married. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I had to talk to my daughter and say, do you mind? What do you think about me recording this song and sharing it with everybody, of course she was like all for it. She goes, no, of course, so we did that, and that's where Byron Hill came about because he produced it with me. So this song has a Calabogie connection because I co-wrote it with Jeffrey and Byron produced it with me. So the whole song is really wrapped around the three of us. Those are two really important people in my life, so it couldn't have worked out any better. And people are just now starting to get it at radio and having a spin, it's busy out there, and I understand. Mm-hmm. And I know there are other artists that are, definitely more active and out there and everything. So I'm happy to be patient and to be and just give people a chance to, I just hope they come around and give it a listen, because it is a special song. I think, I really believe with all my heart that listeners will embrace it, and it'll be a father-daughter dance for many other people.
came. I expected this to happen. I guess today's the day. I know your love for her runs deep, but I need you to understand one thing. You can keep her safe, you can hold her hand, you can be her strength, you can be her man, you can hold her dreams, you can hold.
And that is Gil Grand, a beautiful new song from him, She'll Always Be Mine. He co-wrote that with Jeffrey East and co-produced it with Byron Hill. And all three of them, as we've talked about throughout the show, are going to be at the Calabogie Peak Songwriting Workshop coming up at the end of June. Head to calabogie.com, the events page, and you'll find all the details you need. Do you have a song in your catalog, Gil? And I know you've had other artists record your songs, but do you have a song now that you're just waiting to get it in the right hands because it's perfect for so-and-so?
Yeah, all of them. Everyone is welcome to record any one of my songs. Yeah. You know what? There's a song that I wrote recently, and I performed it the other night at the Bluebird. Oh, man, I'm trying to think of the title now. But I wrote it with Paul Overstreet. Now,
oh wow,
that's pretty impressive.
I
know,
Paul,
right?
From back in the day, loved his voice and the solo stuff he did. Man.
Yeah. Trying to think of the title. Every Now and Then. So there we go. This song's called Every Now and Then, and I had what an opportunity. I'm a big fan and obviously look up to him as a songwriter and an artist and everything. And so that song there is I would say, you know, a pretty modern version, you know, or not version, but a modern song. You know, it fits today's country music, and that's what I like, I think, about it, is that it's very, very catchy, and it's you know, and again, for me, it's like another notch, you know, where I can say, hey, I wrote a song with
Paul Overstreet, and it's a really good song. I love it. So, So, so that song there, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, good things will happen with it, and it'll find its way to someone who also likes it, and maybe, you know, maybe we'll have some airplay on that. But here, that's always the nice thing about being a singer, is that if no one else records your song, you can always do it yourself.
Exactly.
You know?
That's awesome. I remember when you mentioned Paul Overstreet, obviously as a songwriter, I had an album of his, probably a cassette tape. One of the songs that's coming to mind is Seeing My Father and Me.
Yeah, I know.
That whole album was amazing. And I think he was part of a group, I remember, and I had their records, not necessarily a group that a lot would remember, but there was, I think it was Skylar Knobloch, if I'm saying right, Fred Knobloch, Bickhart, but I think then it became SKO, Skylar Knobloch and Overstreet, and, you know, they had like, it was like a songwriter's album, but I love that stuff.
Man, his voice is like silk, you know? He's got that smoothest voice, man, ever. And he's singing, you know, what I love about it is I've got my version of it because we demoed it and everything, so I'm singing the demo, but I have a version of him singing it, you know, that only I have because I can't share it to with anyone and because you know, it's his thing. But I listen to it all the time because, man, he's just got one of those smoothest voices ever. What a singer. It's great.
Now, you're part of another event coming up in the Toronto area. It's Tin Pan North, the 17th annual Songwriters Festival put on by them. It's the NSAI Toronto, putting it on May 26th through the 28th. You're part of the big night, the gala night, on Saturday the 28th. At Hugh's Room, and man, I'll tell you about the lineup in a minute. The website to get tickets, nsaitoronto.com. So, man, it starts at 7:30. We've got Small Town Pistols and Steve Wilkinson, so that's the whole Wilkinson's family. Amy Skye is there, huge pop singer, of course, and songwriter. Marie Bottrell, big name in country music. And then there's Gil Grand, so what a lineup that night.
That's incredible. I'm so proud to be and excited to go do this thing. I've never, you know, had the chance to go to Tin Pan North. We just had Tin Pan South, and now we're going to do Tin Pan North. And when I was asked to be a part of it, I quickly accepted, you know. And so I look forward to going out there and seeing everybody and sharing some new songs. I get to sing my Paul Overstreet song.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's got to be great.
You'll be there. I'll tell you.
I'll be there. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. It must be amazing to debut a new song that you haven't, you know, you like, obviously, but you maybe haven't had a lot of feedback on, and you're going to get that, you know, instant feedback from the audience, depending on what kind of reaction, you know, the song calls for.
Yeah, well, it's kind of all I got, you know. It makes me think of the Bluebird Cafe the other night because I was sitting there, and of course I would sing a new original song because, you know, Bryce Long would sing, you know, Nothing On But The Radio, and then Byron Hill would sing, you know, Full Hearted Memory, and then Mark Allen Springer sang Two Sparrows in a Hurricane, and then I had to sing a new song because I don't have all the hits those guys have. So it's an old hat for me, Dave, to do that.
That's awesome. I love that song, Two Sparrows in a Hurricane. Of course, Tanya Tucker, a great song for her. Wow, to hear these writers, and I know you're friends with them as well, but to hear them sing these songs that are such huge hits, that's amazing.
Yeah. There's nothing better. You know, Mark Allen also wrote I've Been There, That's Why I'm Here, you know, that Kenny Chesney song.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, the lyric, it's just, you know, Byron wrote, I mean, Byron, you can go on and on, but one of my favorites are, you know, Drinking Man or, you know, Politics, Religion, and Her, and I was on and on, you know.
Yeah, that Sammy Kershaw song. Politics, Religion, and Her, and that whole album, I think that was the name of the album because I had that, again, probably a cassette tape at that time, and man, that was an awesome album. That song was, you know, cool, just cool song.
You know, I got a Sammy Kershaw cut last year.
That's right, Groovin'.
That's right. Yeah, I saw you mentioned it on your site. I saw that. That was cool.
Yep.
Yeah, Groove.
I interviewed Sammy last year, and we talked about that great song. It's just a very soulful ballad. That's cool. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. I hate to overuse the word cool,
see?
But
full
there you
circle.
Go.
We're coming full circle on this interview.
It's amazing. It is a somewhat small community, really, overall, isn't it, in the music community, the people who write with each other who are, you know, 6 degrees of separation, basically.
More or less, probably, I know. Yep, definitely. Small community.
Wow. Yeah, Gil, thank you, man. This has been a pleasure. We've covered a lot of ground and, of course, played a couple of your great songs, a brand new one. She'll Always Be Mine. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, well, Dave, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much and for allowing me to talk about myself for an hour. There's nothing I like more to do than that. And no, but I really appreciate it. You're a pro. I love your questions, and you're the best at what you do, man. So I enjoy it.
Well,
thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much, Gil. That, man, that means a lot. And look forward to seeing you on the 28th at Hughes Room for Tin Pan North. And look forward to talking to you again soon. Take care, Gil.
Right.
Thanks for being here.
You bet. Thank you.
My guest has been Gil Grand. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.